Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin to look here at verse number 24. Matthew 13, verse number 24. Preach a message using this and other passages that start off this way in regards to facets of the kingdom or aspects of the kingdom of the Lord. But we want to take a look at something in particular that our Lord, that the Scripture uses, our Lord uses in showing His work amongst men, women, boys, and girls in this world. In Matthew 13, verse number 24, another parable put He, that is Jesus, forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Verse 25, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?' He said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servants said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?'" That is the tares. "But he said, 'Nay, no, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let's pray. Father, your goodness is great, and we thank you for every blessing in the past week. Lord, we thank you for your blessings today and health and strength of life to be able to be here and provision, Lord, for us to be able to be here. We thank you for each and every one that's come. We thank you for the membership of the church and conviction that they have to meet together to worship you. We thank you for visitors, and we pray, Father, that you would help and bless and work and every heart. Help us, Father, we might render unto you worship and praise, honor, and glory that you are due. And Lord, that you might, through your word and with your spirit, convict your people and strengthen us, help us, bless us, encourage us in you, Lord, and lift us up that we might walk with you and stand for you in this wicked day. Be a good witness of you and what you've done for us to a lost and dying world. Father, we pray for those that are here and not saved. Lord, you know who they are. We pray, Father, that you would work and carry your good word unto them. Move with your spirit. Open eyes, open hearts, open ears, Father, that your word would be received. And Lord, save sinners as you only can. We thank you for your good word and the richness of it. And we thank you for these passages that we're going to look at today. We pray you just might help and bless in them as only you can. Lord, help us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." And so the account given here in the parable is there's a field. There's a good man, and he's been sowing, right? He sowed some good seed. But what happened? A little bit later on, there was something that sprung up. Along with the wheat that the good man sowed, there was tares that sprung up. And, you know, they look alike, but they look a little different. Enough so that they could distinguish that there was a difference between them. The servants, the goodman declares that an enemy has done this, and the servant said, "Well, shall we go out there and get them all plucked up, get them out of the way, get them out of the field?" He said, no, don't do that, because you'll uproot the wheat if you uproot the tares now. Let them grow together. They'll be easy to distinguish in the end. And then at that time, when all the growing is done, when the time is for the harvest in that field comes to pass, then gather up the tares, we'll bundle them up, they'll be burned, and you know what? Then we'll take that wheat, all of that wheat, and we'll gather it into my barn. I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord's blessing, this field of our Lord, this field of our Lord. We come over to Matthew chapter 3, and we see a brother here that we know and love, and I tell you what a blessing John the Baptist is unto us. We need to know about John the Baptist, and we need to learn about him. What a blessing he is as we learn more about John the Baptist, see about his short ministry and how he was called of the Lord. We read here in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was his message. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Verse number 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem." He's over there by Jordan, over there beyond Jericho, over there at Jordan, right, in the Jordan River. And Jerusalem came there, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, all from both sides. And all the way over at Jerusalem, and yeah, that whole region of Judea came over there to him. His ministry, the word had spread about it. And it says here in verse 6, "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." You know, he was baptizing repentant sinners. Verse number 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You know, it gives us a hint there that indeed that's what John was doing. He said, there's wrath coming, and you need to flee it. I'm warning you about this wrath that's coming, and you need to flee it. Who has warned you? They hadn't heard his message, but they came down there, as was seemingly to them in vogue, to go down and be baptized of John, but they missed the message completely. "Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance." And that word meat, we don't use it that way anymore, but he says, bring some fruits that show your repentance, that show the change in your life. Bring some fruits that line up with sinners that have repented before God and had faith in this Christ that I am preaching. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Verse 9, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have." I want to focus on those words right there for a moment. We have. You stand before God, you and your sin. Do you say, I have? I have? I have? He said, think within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. That was their claim. What might be your claim? I have. What's the answer to those? The declaration of those words for you? We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. There's some trees that are being cut down. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. Trees that don't have good fruit, they're going to be cut down. They're going to be laid level at the ground. It's a time and a day of reckoning that's at hand. He says, and now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or as the other scriptures show us, because of repentance. Okay, it's very clear. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Oh, I've got some might about me. The power of the Lord is indeed upon me. But you know what? There's one coming that he's mightier than me. You've come and you've listened to me. I tell you what, he says you need to listen to him. You need to hear him. This is all about him. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I'm not worthy even to carry his shoes. That's how mighty he is. That's how great he is. I, and your consideration of me, and your looking on at me, and this manifestation of the power and the word of the Lord, that the Lord is using me to declare unto you and to bring forth unto you, I am not worthy to carry the shoes of this one that's at hand, this one that is coming. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And understand, it's a clear, concise way of John saying he's the one that saves and he's the one that condemns. He's the one that moves in with the Holy Spirit of God and saves and fills up a person with the Spirit of God, or he's the one that submerses in the fire of hell. He's the one. He's the one to look to. He's the one to reckon with. And listen, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Speaking about the garner, or the threshing floor, rather. He says he's got his fan in his hand. What this is a reference to is the threshing floor would be a place with side walls, as we understand it. They bring the wheat there to it, and they'd go around tromping it. And like they would tromp grapes, okay? They would tromp on it. They would maybe have instruments made out of wood, or even as the Scripture refers to, threshing instruments of iron, and they would crack the hull of the wheat, and they would tromp on it. And then they take that fan. It would be just like a woven, it'd be like a basket, but it would be more flat and it would be large. What a man could take and scoop down into that wheat and throw up in the air. And you know what would happen? The grain would go up on that spring, right? That's when wheat is harvested. We've seen that around here. In the spring, early summertime, wheat is harvested. Or in the fall, you know, there's always wind. Always a breeze. Isn't that something about the Lord's creation? He does all things well. And yet they take that wheat and they throw it up there. And what happens? The wheat goes up and it falls down fairly immediately because of its weight and its density. You know what happens with the chaff? It blows out of the threshing floor. And he takes that and he fans it. He'll go over here, the wheat that's kind of migrated over here, he'll throw it back this way. And you know what? The chaff will flow off. And the chaff will flow off. And you know what? When it's done, here in the threshing floor, you've got wheat. And over here outside of it, you've got a bunch of chaff. There's a bunch of chaff out there. And that's what the reference is. It's a wonderful reference indeed. He said, whose fan is in his hand? He's got a fan in his hand like the man that's working the threshing floor. He will thoroughly purge his floor. You know what? Every wheat kernel, and its chaff is all going to be dealt with. It's all going to be cleaned up when he gets done. Listen, no soul escapes. No soul gets by without being dealt with by our Lord. You know what? When he's done with his threshing floor, you know, a man that would have a lot of wheat to thresh and really had a bumper crop, he would have the tendency maybe to be carefree and lazy, wouldn't he? Just leave it there. Leave it there for the gleaners. So we've got plenty. We've got more than we can get done. The sun's down. Let's go home. We're done. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take care of it. He's going to thoroughly purge his floor. And what's it say that he's going to do? John says, he will gather and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We come over here to Luke chapter 3, and it's the same account. And we just want to preach this man's message. It's a borrowed message. I'll just admit to you this morning, it's a borrowed message. But I tell you what, it's a wonderful message. And the title of the message that we've placed on this morning, this field of our Lord. You know, the wheat comes out of the field, doesn't it? And we saw about the wheat and the tares. You know, the wheat was gathered in and the tares were burned. And here, John takes and deals with this about the wheat and the wheat and the chaff. And there's things that I wonder about that. But we're just going to take it as it is here in the Scriptures. In Luke chapter 3, we come to verse number 2. In Luke 3, verse number 2, the same account, but some things are mentioned here, not mentioned in the other, and vice versa. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. I tell you what a blessing that is. After years of silence, the word of the Lord came unto a man. The word of the Lord came unto John, John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias, the priest of the Lord, of the tribe of Levi. We understand the Lord is sending his forerunner, as we will read. Verse number 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, there are those that take this and they wear these verses out, but they don't take into account all the other verses in the Scripture. And this isn't saying that baptism brings repentance. Baptism brings remission of sins. No, it's because of repentance that one is baptized. And we'll see that clearly here in this account. Man is not saved by water or some work that man can do. The baptism has its place and has its significance in obedience to God. But sinners are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him and His gospel, by repentance and faith in Him, by the moving and working of the Spirit of God to open the eyes and the hearts and the ears of sinners that are without Christ and cause them to see that this is the truth. This is what they need. This is who they need. And as it tells us in the Scriptures, sinners whose hearts are opened, whose eyes are open, whose ears are open, call out. Cry out unto the Lord for salvation. The Lord works in this miraculous birth that He works in. It is the Lord's field. Brothers and sisters, it's the Lord's field. It's not our fields. We're like the servants. We had questions and had a bad idea. And you know what? The goodman says, no, we're going to do it this way. And that's what we need to do. We need to do it the way our Lord says to do it. And we need to have faith and trust and confidence in the way that our Lord says that we need to go about this. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance, or because of repentance, for because of the remission of sins. It all ties there together. And then that sinners are preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They repent of their sins before God. They have faith in Christ, this Messiah that John was preaching. And you know what? They submit to baptism. We'll see that as we go on here. As we saw in Matthew 3 in verse number 2, the declaration there is that he preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance. The kingdom of the Lord is getting close to you. The knowledge of the Lord that's going to overspread the world one day. It's going to be seen and manifested unto all, as the Lord prophesied. This kingdom is getting close to you. You better hear the message. You better hear the word of this kingdom of the Lord. It is getting close at hand. It is very near. It goes on to say in verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley, verse 5, shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And what's he say here? And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. See, Isaiah is used by our Lord to prophesy about this. Let's look over here in Isaiah chapter 40. John refers to this prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. Let's read it here in Isaiah chapter 40. The wording is somewhat different, but the indication is the same. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3, the voice of him, Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, at the time of the Lord Jesus, do we have any indication that any valleys filled up and any hills brought down? No, we don't understand that anything physically like that happened. What is it that he's talking about? He said, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse number 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Verse number 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. There's this dialogue between the one that is sent and the one that is given to cry in the wilderness. And he asked, the voice said, cry. And he said, what do I cry? And he cries, there's no hope within man. There is only help and hope within the Lord. Within the Lord's salvation, the Lord's goodness. He said, here's the way it is with flesh. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. That's what we need, is the word, the breathed word. The physical, the human word, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is where the help is. Not in what we can do. I think these references about making a highway for our God and every valley being exalted, the mountain and the hill be made low, the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. You know what? Jesus is coming, Isaiah prophesies. The Lord, the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, He's coming to do the impossible. To do the impossible, like none other can and like none other will. Brother John, back in Luke chapter 3, he's declaring the same thing. And Brother Luke, as he writes, and Brother Matthew gave reference to, prepare ye the way of the Lord, as it's written by Isaiah the prophet in verse number 4 of Luke 3. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. You know what? I think that begins to tell about the healing of our Lord, doesn't it? He takes the crooked that's impossible for man to make straight. And you know what? He makes it straight. And our depravity, our wickedness, our separation before God, it is an impossible thing for you and I to be saved and to be reconciled. But not with the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus said? The disciples said unto the Lord, as the rich young ruler went away, and the Lord Jesus Christ tells about how it is with the rich and how hardly they enter the kingdom of heaven. And then the disciples said, well, who can be saved? Who can be saved? And the Lord Jesus says, calm, cool, and collected, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's what's at hand. That's what's another way of saying it is right here in verse number 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And I tell you what, He has been seen. He has been seen. He was seen there in Naphtalim and the Galilee of the Gentiles, as the Scripture says. A great light sprung up, and He was seen in that day. And He's written about in the Scriptures. And you and I, some 2,000 years later, we see Him too. Praise be to God. Praise be to the Lord that the light has shined. You know, I think about the Jews that rejected Messiah, and they're yet looking for Messiah. You know, what is it about the forerunner that they're looking for? I've got friends that have gone to Israel and have asked the Orthodox Jews, what are you looking for the one that comes that is Messiah? How will you know that it's Him? And the report from the brother that asked that question there of several when he visited in Israel, he said, Messiah will come and He'll allow us to be able to build the temple. Oh, wow. And as we look into the Scriptures, we see that that's a perfect description of the man of sin, of the Antichrist. But what about the predecessor of the Lord? Who are they looking for there? I've been wondering about that here lately. Have they forgotten about those passages? They're looking for Messiah that's going to come to conquer and deliver and to wrest the nation of Israel out of the hand of the Gentiles. But what are they looking for on the forerunner? Wonder. What are they looking for on the forerunner? Tell you what, brothers and sisters, friends, the forerunner has come, and that's John the Baptist. And he declared the power of the Lord. He says, I come in the might and the power of the Lord, but there's one mightier than me. He says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You know what? This started when the Lord Jesus Christ came and is continuing on and continuing on and continuing on to where we believe in the Lord's millennial kingdom. All that live will see the salvation of the Lord. They'll see it in the Lord. It'll be the answer to all those things commanded by God unto mankind, which we failed in completing. Jesus, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling with a rod of iron, He will accomplish all that God has given man to do. He'll be the answer to it. And the Scriptures, we believe, back that up. We go on here to verse number 7 of Luke 3. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. There's a group that's coming. Old generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes. Wow, what a preacher. What a one that says you bunch of snakes. He's got this discernment from the Lord. Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? He says, John, we saw in the other passage there in Matthew, John did preach that sinners should flee the wrath to come. He said, but you fellas, you haven't been here for the preaching. You don't believe the word of the Lord. You're a bunch of snakes. You're a bunch of undercover of false witnesses and false prophets, and you're just coming here just to fit in and do what's in vogue with all these people. You perceive that this latest thing is to be baptized. See, they miss the whole message. That's what those that rely upon baptism for salvation, they miss the message. They miss the word. They miss the Savior. They miss the sufficiency of the Savior. And John calls these on the carpet. He says, you pack of snakes? Who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? You've not heard the preaching. You've not heard the word of the Lord. See, there's no repentance on the part of these fellows, is there? They just come, as one says, they come to get their baptism merit badge. You know what? I tell you, baptism will not do you a lick of good unless you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what baptism does for the individual that's saved is it's a public testimony of what Christ has done for them already. He said, who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? In verse number 8, he says unto them, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. There's a word that helps us to understand meat over in the other path. He said, bring some fruits. Bring that fruit of the Spirit that shows that you've been changed. You've been touched by the Lord. You're not interested in self now. You're interested in what the Lord wants you to do. Bring that forth. Show that forth. They come in their old garb. They come in their own way. They're going to come down there and get wet. And then they're going to go back to Jerusalem just in the same shape that they came. John knows that. He knows that. He understands what's happened to these others that have heard his preaching and heard this gospel of repentance and the kingdom being at hand and the Savior being at hand and how they've repented and they've turned from their sins and turned unto the Christ that he is preaching. And then he sees these fellows coming. He said, you're a pack of snakes. Who's warned you? Bring fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have. We have. Well, I've got, I tell you what, if you've got anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You have nothing. If you don't have the Lord, they said, we've got Abraham. What do you say you have? You know, I've got Christ. He died for me because he loved me. And you know what? I'm resting in him. I have no other hope but what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me and what he's promised me. A fact. That Jesus died for me. I'm the sinner that needed saving. I'm the sinner that the Lord visited with his word and convicted and, brought me to the end of myself and showed me Christ. And I rest in him. I rest in him. Whatever he wants to do with me, he can do with me. I tell you what, he's trustable. You can rest in him. He doesn't need to be leveraged, nor can you leverage him. I tell you what, you rest and you trust in Christ. That's what sinners that are saved do. They rest and trust in Christ. I'm the guiltiest, worthless, hell-deserving sinner upon the earth that has ever lived and ever will live. I deserve to be in hell right now. But my Lord showed me Christ suffered, bleeding, and dying, being buried, and risen again for this old wicked man. I love my parents. I love my wife. I love my children. I love you. But you know what? Nobody else enters into that but me, my soul, my sin, and my Savior. Nobody else is there. Nobody else is even on the radar screen when it comes to this subject, because that's the way it is. Salvation is individual. Your sin is yours, and you need a Savior. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Repent of your sins and look to Him. He says here, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have. What they said, we've got Abraham. He's our father. We have arrived. Therefore, we've got it coming. Don't have anything coming but destruction and misery and woe and hell, separated from God forever. We've got Abraham. I tell you what, I've got Christ. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. We have. That's what they say. They say, and he knew it. He said, don't think it inside your heart. Don't think it within yourself. I've got this. I told about a lady years ago. She said she had a bright light in a field. I tell you what, you need Christ. You need Christ. Had a tingling sensation of something. No, you need Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. We have Abraham to our father. He says, I say unto you, and that what you're thinking about, you've got Abraham and he's your father. I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The Lord can take a stone and make a child of Abraham, a child of God, out of that rock. That's what John said. You believe that? That's the truth. The Lord's the creator. He can do anything He wants to. I think the first man was created out of the dust of the earth. You think there was any rocks in there? I tell you what, if he can do that, he can do the other, can he? He says, it's not about having Abraham that you claim. It's not about claiming to be a descendant from Abraham. But I tell you what, it's about having faith in the Savior that Abraham had. Faith, faith, faith by Him and in Him. God is able, these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. He said He's able to raise up children unto Abraham, that man of faith. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 and 9 through 9, but when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, and so we have clarity here about this multitude, okay? That's how I can refer to them. It's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring fruits that line up with a repentant heart. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And the implication there is children of faith. He said, and you're not somebody just because you're related to Abraham. You need the Lord. You need this Messiah. And then he goes on to say here in Luke 3:9. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. How do you stand as a tree before the Lord? Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know that hewing, it's talking about a saw, isn't it? Hewing, or that of splitting. He said it's going to be hewn down. The Lord goes through and He checks out the tree. Is it a tree that's got good fruit? Nope. Hew it down. Cast it in the fire. Why is it the fire keeps on being referred to? Because you know what? There is a fire. There is an eternal fire that is the vengeance of God. It's God's place. It's not Satan's place. It's God's place. It's God's place of eternal vengeance and damnation for unrepentant sinners who want their sin and not the Lord's salvation, not the Lord's Savior. He said, if a tree, it'll come to a time when the Lord will do the inspecting. If a tree doesn't have fruit on it, hew it down and burn it up. It's done. It's over. There'll come a time where it'll be done. The time to bear. But now the axe is laid under the root of the trees. I think this is even being spoken of, directing it at Israel as the nation. The time for them to represent God upon this earth has passed. Does she have fruit upon her? The Lord says she does not. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Verse number 10. And the people asked John, saying, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And this could be misunderstood if we didn't take it and compare it with other passages. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 6, it says here, those that came to John were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. They were repentant. They were repentant of their sins before God. They had faith in this one that John preached in. Preached about and pointed them into. What shall we do then? They asked. Look here what we see. In verse number 10, and the people ask him. So we have the people that are here. What shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. That's how you're saved. Is that what John's saying? No, this is after the fact. These people have been saved. They're saying, what do we do now? What, I've been saved by the Lord. You've baptized me. What do I do now? He said, live like Christ. Live like the Savior. Live like our Heavenly Father. Isn't that what Jesus ultimately said when he came and he was asked about the greatest commandment? Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, the whole law and the prophets hang on that. They hang on that. Well, the people said, what do we do? We've been saved. What's next, John? John gave him what he had. Isn't that the way it is? Because see what? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to give him more, right? You got a cloak. You got an extra coat. Give it to somebody that doesn't. And the thing is, I'm sure most of us have got closets full of coats. These people might have had two, if that, or no extra. This was a point when it came wintertime and you didn't have a coat and a cloak to cover up with, you may have been cold for the season. But our brother says, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, you got some extra food, you do the same. Because you're Christ. Because you're the Lord's. Look what here that we see. The repentant. Verse number 12, then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? So we see a clarification there. They came unto him to be baptized and they gave testimony. They repented. John baptized and said, the publican said, what do we do? And John says what? John says to them, Master, what shall we do? John says to them, verse 13, and he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Don't skim it. Don't skim it off the top. Don't skim it off the bottom. Whatever the order is, you as a publican, you do your job. You do your job. You do your job to the honor and glory of the Lord. And the soldiers, verse number 14, these are the repentant that want to know, what's next, John? What do we do next? And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do, John? What do we do? We've been saved. You've baptized us, and we believe in this one that you're telling about that's coming. What do we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your pay, with your wages. He said, do your job, and do it unto the Lord. Don't be a false witness against anybody, like is the case that is done amongst you. Don't do violence to anyone. You be a right soldier before the Lord. Do no violence. Don't accuse any falsely. Don't lie against anybody just to make a case against them. And what you're paid, don't look to be stealing from anybody else. You be content with what you're paid. John dealt right with the things that the people dealt with themselves. Covetousness and hoarding, right? The publicans and exacting more than they were appointed to do, and the soldiers in lying and being violent and abusing the people. John said, you're the Lord's. Be the Lord's. And you know, he didn't tell any of them to quit what they were doing, did he? He didn't tell the publicans to quit being publicans, tax collectors. He didn't tell the soldiers to quit being soldiers. He told them to be honest and right in it. In verse number 15, in this, and the people were in expectation, and all men, all mused, they thought in their hearts of John. Is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? No, nobody's come in this kind of power. Nobody's come with this kind of message. And the power of John, indeed, no doubt was incredible. Yet John never worked one miracle. You know that? But I tell you what, John could not be stood against in the calling of the Lord upon him. And they knew, is he the Christ? Is he the Christ? And John answered, saying unto them all, verse number 16, he knew that. He heard the chatter of his disciples. I indeed baptize you with water. I'm the baptizer that's been sent of the Lord to baptize repentant sinners, to make a people, prepare a people for our Lord, and to set things straight. This whole thing about bringing the valleys up and filling the valleys, bringing the mountains down and making the crooked straight, I think there's an element there of just turning everything upside down that had ever been known before. Okay? It's according to the word of the Lord, but it's something totally different than even the Jews or anyone expected. And yet it was prophesied. I mean, they're expecting Messiah to come and whip up on the Romans and deliver them out of it and establish the nation again. What's Jesus doing? He's coming as Savior to give his life a ransom for his people. And it's totally different than what they expected. He said, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I, with greater might than me, cometh, and the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. Here we see that John says, I'm not worthy to carry his shoes, and I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. You know, for people to deal with other people's feet. I've mentioned this before. It's a demeaning thing. It would be a demeaning thing for me to tell you, untie my shoes. Now, I mean, you know, just as a point of subservience, okay? Not if I needed help. If I needed help, I know you would help me. But you know what I'm saying? Get down here and untie my shoes. Carry my shoes. It would be a demeaning point. John says, I'm not worthy to untie him. I don't qualify to stoop down and untie his shoes, nor to carry his shoes. Wow. What a one. What a one. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. Listen to what he's going to baptize with. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's the Savior and he's the Judge. He's the one that metes out the condemnation of the Lord. I mentioned to you here a couple weeks ago about facets of judgment. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he discerns about the judgment and who's guilty and not. And then he also metes out the punishment. There's two facets to judgment. Two facets to judgment. You and I know about the criterion for judgment, but you and I do not mete out punishment. We know about the criterion because the Lord's told us in his word and his scripture. Okay, and I'm not even talking about us being judges or making judgments about things. There's two facets of judgment, and the Lord Jesus Christ answers and deals with them both. Takes care of them both. He says, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, salvation, and with fire, hell and damnation in hell and the lake and fire. As it says in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or because of repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then we come here to Luke 3:17, whose fan is in his hand. He's got a field. He's been raising some wheat. And you know what? He's going to bring the grain of that wheat into his garner. A little different than the other passage that we read in Matthew at the first, our text passage, about the goodman that sowed a field and had wheat and tares. Neither one of them work against the other. Understand that. But John said there's one that's coming. It's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's got his fan in his hand. And you know what? He's going to thoroughly purge his floor, the floor of his threshing floor. It's all going to be dealt with. Every kernel of wheat is going to be dealt with. Every soul is going to be dealt with. And he's going to gather the fruit. He's going to gather the fruitful. He's going to gather his own. He's going to thrash it out. He's going to discern between it all. And he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner, the wheat that he has planted. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. How is it with you? Are you the Lord's wheat in his field? Are you the Lord's wheat grain at his threshing floor? Are you a tare? Are you chaff? I tell you what, we point you to Christ. You need him. Brother Jim, what do I do? What do I do? Repent of your sins. Hear the message of the Lord. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This about hell and the fire unquenchable, it's been mentioned many times. You know what? That fire is to be feared. It's to be feared. That fire and that eternity and hell and the lake of fire is to be feared. That's the reason that it's mentioned in the scriptures, so that sinners would see the truth about where they're at and where they're going without Christ. That fire is to be feared, because that is the righteous indignation and wrath of God Almighty eternally upon sinners that are without Christ, that are impenitent, and they do not repent, the scripture says. That fire is to be feared. But you know what's to be feared greater than the fire? The one that is to be feared greater than the fire is the one who is at hand, the one that John preached about, the one that we preach here at Olmsted Baptist Church, the one who the Scripture is all about. We come to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, these are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." And so as the Lord's children, we need to have an understanding right about who's in control of us and who we are to honor. And he uses this word fear, and it's there can be, and indeed there is, an element of terror that is there. But I believe more so there's a point and an indication of reverence. We are the created. He is the creator. We are to bow in heart and soul and mind and body unto him. He's the one that says the way things are. He's the one that declares the truth. God Almighty is the one that sent the Savior. And by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, God is known unto men, women, boys, and girls. The whole book, the whole Bible is about him. He says, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." Don't fear those. But reverence, fear. Fear the one, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear, whom ye shall revere. For the sinner that's without Christ, it will be a terror-filled eternal existence, won't it? In that hell, in that lake of fire for eternity. But I tell you what, the Lord says, reverence him. Reverence this one that has power beyond that of men. He says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed," he's got the power of your life in his hand, "hath power to cast into hell, the place of burning. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." The fire is to be feared. But I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ is to be reverenced. And you know what we do when we reverence, when we truly reverence someone? We hear them and we believe what they say. Is this just a fable? Is this just a story? Is this just a thing to scare people into salvation? You know what? Men, women, boys, and girls can't be scared into salvation. But you know what? The truth can be declared to them. And we pray that the Lord will work and move and open your eyes, hearts, and ears to the truth. You need to revere the Lord and his word. Who sent John the Baptist? God Almighty. Did he send him just to fill up some pages in the scripture and just to have a neat account of the forerunner of Christ? No, he came He sent him to preach a message. What did John preach? Repent. Repent. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ preach? Repent. Repent. It is this field of our Lord.